Psalm 20 was the prayer before the battle. And this psalm, Psalm 21, is the praise after the battle. The people had prayed and God had answered. And now everyone celebrates. Imagine David riding through Jerusalem after defeating an enemy that everyone thought was unbeatable. But the crowd isn't saying, "What an incredible king." They're saying, "What an incredible God." And that changes everything. Because you see, success has a dangerous habit. Success whispers, "You did this. You did this." Faith answers, "God did this." One of the greatest tests of our faith, I think, is not failure. Success tempts us toward pride. And David knew that every victory had one true source. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. And then David writes, "You've granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips." I think it's a beautiful picture. Before the battle, the king prayed. He asked, didn't demand. He asked and he trusted. And God answered. There is something, I think, wonderfully simple here. God delights in answering the prayers of his people. Sometimes I think we imagine prayer as trying to convince God to care for us, but Scripture presents prayer differently. Prayer is joining ourselves to the God who already cares. David asked, God answered, but notice something. David did not demand, he requested. There is humility there. You know, kings in the world that we live in can command people, but kings request things from God, because every king ultimately kneels before a greater king. You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. Can you see the scene? David is crowned. The people are cheering. The crown shines in the sunlight. And yet David knows something. The gold may be on his head, but the hand that placed it there was God's. And that's one of Scripture's recurring themes. Promotion comes from the Lord. Opportunities come from the Lord. Leadership comes from the Lord. Influence comes from the Lord. Every good gift comes from God. Our culture today tells us, make your own way. God says, I open doors that no one can shut. And David never forgot who crowned him. And neither should we. Verse 4 says, he asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. And at first this sounds, or could sound, like David simply survived another battle. But then the language becomes larger. Forever and ever. David, of course, never literally lived forever. So what's happening here? Well, I think the psalm begins pointing beyond David. Like many royal psalms, it starts with Israel's king but reaches toward the coming Messiah. The promises become bigger than David, greater than Solomon, greater than every earthly king, because the promise finds fulfillment in Jesus Christ. David's victories were temporary. Jesus' victory is eternal. David's kingdom eventually faded. Christ's kingdom never ends. Yes, David escaped death a few times, but Jesus defeated death. And through the victories you gave, says David, his glory is great. And notice once more, the victories come from God. The glory followed. You know, our world is obsessed with self-made greatness. We read it in every newspaper, every news item. It's all about self-made greatness. Social media teaches us to build our own platform of life. But Psalm 21 teaches us something different. God is the one who lifts people up. God is the one who grants honor. God is the one who gives lasting influence. And if God gives it, no one can steal it. But if we manufacture it, it eventually crumbles. And verse 7 says, "For the king trusts in the Lord through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken." And I think this is maybe the central verse of the psalm. Why isn't the king shaken? This may be because, well, not because enemies disappeared, not because life became easy, but because he trusted. Trust is different from certainty. David didn't know every outcome. He didn't know every outcome. But he knew the character of God. Faith says, "I know who walks with me." It doesn't say, "I know exactly what will happen." But faith says, "I know who," not what, but "who walks with me." And that's enough. And then in verse 8, the whole tone of the psalm changes quite dramatically. The celebration gives way to judgment. And God's enemies will not ultimately prevail. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with this whole idea of judgment. These words can sometimes sound quite severe. But remember this: a world without justice is not a better world, it's a crueler world. Every person who has suffered oppression longs for justice. Every victim wants evil stopped. And Psalm 21 reminds us that evil does not win forever. Sometimes God's justice may seem delayed, but it's never absent. One day, every injustice will be addressed. Every hidden evil exposed, and every wrong made right. I sometimes think, that's a bit frightening. But to the Christian, it is profoundly hopeful. Now imagine another king entering another city, not riding a war horse, but riding a donkey. The crowd shouts, palm branches are waved, Hosanna is shouted. They expected another David, another military victory. But instead, the king walked toward a cross. At first glance, it looked like defeat. The crown became thorns. The throne became wood. And the victory looked like failure. But the greatest victory in history came through that apparent defeat. You see, Psalm 21 doesn't just celebrate David's victory, but it celebrates the victory that Jesus has brought us. Jesus fulfilled it in a way that nobody expected. He received the crown after wearing the thorns. He received eternal life after passing through death. He received the kingdom after the cross. So Psalm 21 is not just about David. And it's also not only about Jesus. It also speaks to you and I. Because everyone places their trust somewhere. I want to ask you this morning, where do you place your trust? Some people trust their careers. Some people trust their health. Some people trust their financial savings, their intelligence, themselves. But eventually, every one of those foundations shakes. Our health changes, our money can disappear, governments come and go, people disappoint, even our own strength fades. Only one foundation remains. The king trusts in the Lord. And that invitation belongs to you and me. Trust him. Trust him when prayers seem unanswered. Trust him when the victories come. Trust him when life hurts. Trust him when joy returns. Trust him. Let me leave you this morning with one final image. Imagine standing in the throne room of heaven. There is a crown there. It's not David's. It's not Solomon's. It's Christ's. The risen king still bears the scars in his hands. The lamb is also the lion, and the crucified one is now enthroned. And all heaven sings, not about human greatness, but about God's salvation. And that is where Psalm 21 ultimately leads, not merely to an ancient battlefield, but to the throne of the risen Christ. And one day every earthly crown will fade. Every kingdom will pass away. Every ruler will probably be forgotten. But the reign of Jesus Christ will never end. The king still rejoices in his father's strength, and the father still delights in his son. And all who trust in this king become citizens of an everlasting kingdom. So when you leave this morning, remember these simple truths. Celebrate every blessing as God's gift. Receive every victory with humility. Face every trial with trust. And wait for God's perfect justice, and keep your eyes fixed on the King, whose crown can never be taken away. The psalm closes with these words: "Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing praise and praise your might." And that is the proper ending. Not, "Look how strong we are." Not, "Look what we accomplished." But, "Lord, be exalted, because every victory begins with his strength. Every blessing flows from his hand, and every hope rests upon his faithfulness towards us. And every story, including your story and my story, finds its true ending in the reign of Jesus Christ, our King."